What you believe will determine how you will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us of why we are important to God.
And I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter where you've been and it doesn't matter what you've done. There is a God in heaven who loves you and he sees your life as essential. And you may say, but I'm messed up and I've been in drugs and I've been in alcohol. I've had an abortion. I've hurt somebody. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, Jesus loves you and he's willing to climb into your stinking life if you'll let him.
Do you doubt the value of your contribution? If so, you're not alone. Some of the greatest Bible heroes were considered non-essential in the world's eyes. In today's series, Essential Servants, we will learn about God's essential servants and how they made a difference. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Because we will become what we believe, our beliefs will prove to be a barrier or a vehicle to our success. God's desire is for us to go higher, to rise above our obstacles, and to live in health, abundance, and victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Fathers Are Essential.
Well, we have heard over the last few months that many various people are deemed as essential workers, and others were not necessarily deemed as essential workers in the outset of this COVID-19. And certainly on the most part, we understood the categories. We understood that healthcare officials and workers were essential workers. We understood that those involved in various types of public health work, that this was deemed essential. Law enforcement, first responders, essential workers, food and agriculture, water, transportation, all of these were deemed as essential workers. Yet I want to say to you this morning that being a father is an essential work from God. In fact, I've seen hundreds, perhaps thousands of men who have gotten so involved in what they deemed as an essential work, whether it was their career, whether it was in some other area of a hobby, so involved in other things that they neglected the essential thing, and that, of course, was their family. And I want you to know today that the investments that you make as a dad, as a father, are essential in the life of your family. Do you know, moms and dads, we need to be careful how much we talk about how bad the world is and how bad things are getting. You know, there's little ears listening. You know what they need to hear from us? There's still a God in heaven. There's still a Bible that makes a difference. There's still a privilege to serve and a privilege to be a Christian, and God will make a way. By the way, some of you adults, you'd do well to turn the news off too. You know why? It agitates you and you're not as happy. Let me tell you, the Bible says, let us think on things that are pure and lovely and true and of a good report. And you see, fathers need to be those difference makers in the lives of these children. I agree with the quote from George Herbert, who said, one father is worth more than 100 schoolmasters. One father is worth more than 100 schoolmasters. I personally believe that much of the anger that we see in society today is due to the lack of a father's influence in the lives of young men and women. You see, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And children are provoked to wrath when there is an angry father in the home, or when there's an absent father, or when there is an abusive father. And there's a lot of hurt, a lot of anger today. And sometimes it's due to the fact that there was never a father showing a family what the love of God is really all about, what forgiveness is all about, what joy is all about. Back a few years ago in the month of May was the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' landmark album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. I must admit, I did not even know that record existed back those years ago. But John Lennon had fathered a son, Julian, but he knew very, very little about his father. And in fact, Julian Lennon later wrote these words about his famous rock and roll father. He said, "The only thing he taught me was how not to be a father." You see, all of your children will know about being a husband or a father. They're going to learn from you. And so the role of the father is critical in the foundation of society. And when I think of a father in the Bible who was essential not only to his son, but to an entire nation, I think of Abraham, sometimes called Father Abraham. God had called him out from being an idol worshiper and had called him to be a man of faith, a follower of God. And in our text today, we see a father that is faithfully following the Lord. He is facing the toughest test of life, a test that many of us have difficulty even comprehending, and he faces this test with grace and obedience, and he shows us what it is to be a man after God's own heart. Now, when we look into Abraham's life, there are a few lessons that we can learn as fathers, but also as Christians today, whether you're a father or not. And I want you to see these with me. You can find the outline also at lancasterbaptist.org if you want to study it later. But notice, first of all, in this father's life, we learn that tests are essential. Tests are an essential part of a father's life. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that God did tempt Abraham. God tempted Abraham. We see here that this test is God ordained. And I want to remind our church family this morning that all of the fiery trials are father filtered, that God allows the trials. In other words, nothing catches God by accident. And sometimes as we're going through the test, we might feel like, God, don't you know what's going on? Why is this happening? As though it caught him by surprise. Remember, the Bible says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you." And we see right here in verse 1 that God did tempt Abraham. This was the ultimate test of Abraham's faith, because there was nothing he loved more than Isaac. Nothing that he had prayed for more than Isaac. Nothing that he had desired more than to see God's future plans for his nation. And yet God is going to say, "Abraham, I want you to give him back to me. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice." And I say to you that there has never been a change, a challenge, a sacrifice that you have made in your life that could compare to what Abraham is being asked to do. A tremendous test. And sometimes, dads, we don't pass the test real well. Sometimes we complain. Sometimes we want to argue with the Lord about it. Sometimes we make mistakes during the testing times. I heard about a school teacher that was correcting the papers of a young boy, and she looked at the little boy's work, and she was appalled at the results. And the teacher said to the little boy, said, "I failed to understand how one person can make so many mistakes." And the little boy said, "But it wasn't just one person. My dad helped me with this." And sometimes, dads, we don't get all the answers right. How many dads this morning would say, "I haven't passed every spiritual test that's come my way," right? Many of us would have to say that we kind of faltered along the way. And I know in my life that is true. But I want to remind you that God will ordain these tests to strengthen our faith. And the word here in verse 1, tempt, I want you to notice that. The word has two meanings. Sometimes it can mean a solicitation to sin, and sometimes it can mean a test in the sense of a spiritual trying or trial. And that's what it means here. It was a trial of his faith. Hebrews 11:17 says it this way: "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, men, let me speak to you this morning, and ladies as well. Many of us through these last 3 or 4 months have been going through a trial of our faith. We have not been able to have preaching as much as we usually do. We've not been able to have times where we've had revival and where we've been challenged as often. And when we are gathering, it's in a socially distant situation, and some feel uncomfortable with that. I was talking this week to someone out in the community, and they just ran into a store real quickly and saw one of our members, and she said, I'm not ready to come back to church yet. And I said, all right, that's okay. And we have to be careful with that because this is essential. Church is essential, and folks are going to come back. But what I'm saying is it's been a different time. It's been a trial. It's been a trial with our schedules. It's been a trial not seeing folks as much. And then all the civil unrest. It's depressing to see some of this in our nation. And sometimes it weighs on people. But may I say to you that we serve a God who's still in control. He's right on time. He has a purpose in all of this. And it doesn't matter really what's going on in the country. We can always know our God has a purpose and a plan. And we can trust Him in these times of difficulty. And that's what the Bible says, that when we go through these trials, that we would be found with praise and honor for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abraham's trial was God ordained, and we have trials in our lives, and God allows them to bring us closer to Him. I want you to notice, secondly, his trial required sacrifice. His trial required sacrifice. Now look at verse 2, the Bible says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Now this is an unthinkable cost. He is to take and sacrifice his own son. Often I think of this when we think about a child going to a mission field, or when we think about giving maybe a large offering, or when we think about something God is asking us to do that seems too much. I often think of Abraham, how he was asked to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Isaac was to be sacrificed. This was an unthinkable cost. This was a cost that would be essentially paid. It was essential to the entire nation of Israel, because Isaac was the seed of promise. And this very test was directly related to what God had told Abraham in the past. In Genesis 15 and verse 5, God had said, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, and if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. So the promise of the nation of Israel becoming a great nation and the seed flourishing, all of that was through Isaac, this long-awaited son. And now God is asking Abraham to give him up, and an unbelievable sacrifice that is being required. God said that his promise would come only through Isaac, Genesis 21, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so this was the essential promise to the nation of Israel. And by the way, thank God, the Bible says that he will bless those who are the friend of Israel and curse those who are not the friend of Israel. And up until this point, some of the many blessings we've had in our country, I believe, is because we have been friends with Israel, this seed that God had promised to bless. And so God had miraculously promised this son to Abraham. And I cannot imagine the joy that he had when he saw Isaac, when he held Isaac, when he realized that after all the years of waiting, God's promise had been fulfilled. I heard about three young fathers that were in a waiting room, and they were there waiting for their wife to bring forth babies. And as they sat there, the first was told his wife was going to have twins. And the other ones were amazed, and he was amazed. He said, wow, he said, I play baseball for the Minnesota Twins, and I'm going to have twins. And he was so excited about that, and they were sitting in the room talking about all of this. And the next man was in the waiting room, and the nurse came out and said, congratulations, you're going to have triplets. And the man said, that is amazing. He said, I work for 3M. That is just amazing. And right about that time, the third man fainted, and when he woke up, They said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I work for 7-Up," and he was a little worried about that. But Abraham, he had been waiting a long time. He'd been awaiting, and God had given him Isaac, and now God is going to test him. Remember Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so here is an unthinkable cause, and here is an unplanned command. Notice in verse 4 it says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." He's commanded now to go 3 days' journey. The number 3 was always significant. It speaks of separation. It speaks of spending time getting away from the norm and coming here to the Mount of Sacrifice. And God had given the command. And so he very faithfully makes this journey to Mount Moriah, where he will lay his son on the altar. Tests are essential. Now, I want to say that when I read about Abraham's test, it often causes me to stop my complaining. And men, I don't know what your test might be, and I don't know what your complaint might be. I'm not going to ask your wife after church. We want to have a sweet spirit today. But many times as men, when we're going through a test, we talk about it, we grumble about it, we complain about it, we don't like it. But what we can see in the life of Abraham is a man who, without complaint, obeyed his God. And that is the kind of a man that we want to be in this moment, is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is the kind of man that Abraham was. And we don't need today men that are up and down and grumbling and complaining against God, but men today that are trusting God like Abraham trusted God. And so we see before us, tests are essential. And you say, "Well, I don't want to have tests, but they're essential to the building of a man of God." Every man of God that we would have respected has been through some trials and difficulties in life. But notice, secondly, obedience is essential. Now, what is a test if we're not going to obediently follow God through the test? Notice, if you would, in verse 3, "Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took of his young men with him, two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave to the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." Now, we usually want the path of least resistance, but what we should desire is the path of soon obedience, obeying God's command for our life. And so we see with Abraham an immediate obedience. We see a man that is immediately following God with complete faith. There's no hesitation. He's doing exactly what God has called him to do. He's leaving out for Mount Moriah. He has a confident faith. The Bible says in verse 5, "Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." Notice this. "And come again to you." Notice the confidence Abraham says. He says, "Now I and the lad are going to go up. We're going to sacrifice, and we will come again to you." He is trusting the Lord. There is a calmness with which Abraham expresses his faith to God. May I say to you, as I look into the eyes of young children these days, and sometimes as they see on the news people burning restaurants, as they see on the news all of the difficulties, and as they see adults yelling at each other, and as they hear about COVID. Recently, we're having prayer with some of our grandchildren. I said, "What is your prayer request?" "Pray that my dad doesn't get COVID." They think about these things, and they hear these things. But can I tell you something? That in the midst of these seasons, we need to be dads like Abraham, who said to the servants, "We're going to go up to the mountain, and we'll be back down, because God is going to provide. God is always in control. God has a purpose in this. We can trust him." And I can just see Abraham going up the mount singing, "I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives a song." I believe he was that kind of a man. Just keep on trusting the Lord. Oh, listen, the children may look at the news, and they may see the anger, and they may misunderstand the difficulties in the country. But when they look to a Christian father, may they see a man that is trusting in the Lord. He says, we will come again. D.L. Moody said, I prayed for faith and it did not come. But when I read the word of God, faith came. Oh, listen, may we spend more time in this precious book than listening to the talking heads. May we find a security and a confidence. May we find that God is building our faith in these days. Hebrews 11 and verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so he had a complete faith. He had a confident faith. He had a consenting faith. He was willing to do what God was asking. Notice in verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now, I think of that question. Could you imagine this? You're going up the hill. You're with your dad. He's singing, I just keep trusting my Lord. That's the chapel version, if you haven't read that lately. He's having this heart of faith. And his son says, Dad, we have the fire. We have the wood. Where's the sacrifice? I imagine the piercing that must have made in Abraham's heart. Sometimes there are piercings and testings. I was speaking with this young pastor's son this morning whose father passed away. And even after all these years of dealing with trials and difficulties, to be honest, sometimes you don't know what to say immediately to someone. You just quickly pray, Lord, give me the right words. And I said to young Zach, I said to him, Zach, I believe God's going to use your life greatly for the Lord. You see, God doesn't want us to waste a trial. God doesn't waste testings. He has a reason. And he's testing Abraham, and he's trying his faith. And Isaac said, but where's the wood? And yet through all of these piercing questions, Abraham was obeying God. He was, secondly, believing God. He had a believing obedience. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, and Abraham said, my God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Abraham reminds his son that God will provide. God will provide. Your children may see you writing a tithe check, but Dad, I thought we were a little tight this month. How's that going to work out? My son, God will provide. But Dad, I don't understand. How are we gonna get the whole church back? And how are we gonna see revival once again? My son, God will provide. But Dad, this is a difficult time, and it seems like there's no hope. My son, God will provide. You see, the life that follows God is a life of faith, and this is so needed today. And we need dads who will say to their families, and we need men who will say to one another, God's going to get us through this. This virus is going to be a thing of the past. One day, a lot of these difficult situations in our nation will be healed, and God's grace will bring healing, and souls will be saved, and God will bring us through this. And there needs to be a generation of men today who are not the Eeyores, always discouraged, but like Abraham, obeying God and believing God and trusting God that he will bring us through these difficult times. And this is the kind of father Abraham was, that when it seemed like everything was going wrong, he was the kind of father who said, God will make a way. And where there seems to be no way, God will make a way. Oh, today, men, may we rise up in our families. And we don't have to understand and have every answer, but we can understand this, that we serve a mighty God who will bring us through these times and who will strengthen us through these times. Oh, listen, friend, we need to have the faith of Abraham this morning. Oh, he was believing God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.